One guy who never travels with Thrills gum, the gum that tastes like soap.
He may know of it.
The man with the dulcet tones who's calling tonight's World Series, and he's up and at him early to hang out with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Mr. Dan Shulman, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. A little tired. I guess there was a little controversy in the game last night, or did I dream all that?
We needed it, though, didn't we? Had Buck on yesterday, and we said, Buck, this has been just a World Series where it hasn't been close. It's been interesting, but boy, you got it all yesterday for yourself, Dan.
It's certainly a memorable game. I mean, we were joking after the game, like in the moment, the Bregman carrying the bat down to first and Soto responding in kind seemed like the biggest thing in the world. And then, of course, when the play at first base happened, we were no longer talking about Bregman or Soto or Scherzer. And the funny part to me is, like, Rendon and Strasburg were magnificent last night, had sensational, historic World Series games. And nobody's talking about that at all because everybody's talking about the play at first base. But, yeah, even the play at first base aside, whatever you feel about it, it was a great baseball game. It was, and yes, this series did need a great baseball game.
So Dan, walk us through from your perspective last night, watching that play go down, which turned out to be much ado about nothing, the way it all kind of played out with Rendon's home run right afterwards. But Trey Turner called out at first base, lengthy review. Dave Martinez went absolutely ballistic. I think there's video that went viral. There's over 1.5 million views, I think, now since it went down last night. How did you see it?
I don't like the rule, first and foremost. I've never liked the rule. The base is in fair territory. The running lane is in foul territory. And I find that I find it wrong, because what you're asking the runner to do is get into foul territory, especially if you're a right-handed batter. So think about it. A left-handed batter starts in foul territory when he starts running to first. A right-handed batter starts in fair territory. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So Turner's being penalized because he's a right-handed batter. So you're asking him to start in fair territory, get into foul territory, and then reach the base with his left foot, which is what you're taught to do, reach the base with his left foot because the base is in fair territory. As an aside, I think it's a bad rule, and they should seriously consider the double bag that kids have. I know it would look silly, and we'd all be embarrassed for a while, but you'd never have this again. So I also thought Turner was by Gurriel when Gurriel reached out to make the catch. And I don't know how you penalize a runner when he's by Gurriel. Even if Turner had gone down the running lane the entire way, he still has to reach back into fair territory to get his left foot on the bag at the last step. And that, they say, would have been okay. He wouldn't have been called out for interference. And my question is, but he's in the same place as he was. How he got there shouldn't matter. He's in the same place on that last step as he would have been, whether he ran down the lane or whether he was inside the lane. Like, I understand the rule. By the letter of the law, he was outside the lane, and he shouldn't have been there. But, you know, a right-handed batter gets penalized. Also because Gurriel, this is a little subtler, but because Gurriel's a right-handed first baseman, he's reaching for the ball with his left hand, obviously. If he's a left-handed first baseman, his right arm is further out into fair territory. He makes the catch, or tries to make the catch, a little bit out into fair territory, and we don't have interference. Like, to me, it shouldn't matter whether you're a right-handed first baseman or a left-handed first baseman. Peacock made a bad throw. And I think no matter where Turner had been in the running lane, I think Gurriel's glove would have made contact with Turner. I just don't think it was Turner's fault. That's my point. And it's too big of a play for it to be a judgment call that's non-reviewable. And that's fine. Those are the rules. It's a judgment call, and it's non-reviewable. It's too important to have, you know, that play made in the moment without the ability to look at it or without having a better way to adjudicate the situation.
Yeah, hopefully Major League Baseball learns from it on such a big stage. Dan Shulman calling Game 7 tonight of the World Series. Prior to that, you had a wonderful call in saying, you know, with Bregman taking the bat, that wasn't a misdemeanor. That's a felony. They went full Soto, Bregman, go full on Buford Pusser, which I haven't thought of that
good
name
line
forever, and walking tall, just walking around with the wood and cleaning things up. I like the fact that an apology was there. What was your take on that? Is that just pure emotion?
A little bit, kind of, sort of. So actually, my partner, Chris Singleton, went off more than I did on it. And I'm not a member of the fun police. I'm not a, you know, keep your head down, run the bases. But I do think there, no matter how much fun you're having, there are lines that still shouldn't be crossed. And I think that was one that was crossed. And I think a lot of the players feel that was the one that was crossed as well. So, listen, Alex Bregman, he's a fantastic player, like one of the best players in the game. He's also emotional and cocky and plays the game with a chip on his shoulder. And I was expecting him to say after the game, I just caught up in the moment and I didn't even really realize I had it. But he didn't say that. I was raised to play the game, and I apologize. It bugged me. And the first base play kind of dwarfed everything else after that happened. And then, you know, Juan Soto did what he did. So, you know, A.J. Hinch said, I didn't like my player doing it. And Dave Martinez says, I didn't like my player doing it. So, you know, there are people in the game who didn't like it as well. So I thought it was wrong. You know, but you know what's funny? In 2015, which seems like 1,000 years ago, but it's 4 years ago, the world was, you know, upside down because Jose Bautista did a bat flip.
Yeah. Unless you were a Jays
fan. And now, right, 4 years ago. And now look at where we are, where bat flips are not only tolerated, they are celebrated.
Yeah.
And Bautista did a bat flip because of the emotion of the moment after the most emotional inning that I've ever seen in baseball. And there's a lot of emotion. Game 6 of the World Series, it's his first at bat, it gives them the lead and all that. So, like, I understand you've got to, you know, give these guys some leeway in the moment, but I also think that what Bregman did was over the line.
Dan Shulman here on Sportsnet 650. It's Game 7 tonight between the Astros and the Nationals, and that sets up what should be an excellent pitching matchup, at least on paper anyway. Max Scherzer, who's getting up off the canvas, and Zach Greinke. You talk about a hired gun here who they brought in down the stretch. This has the makings of a potential classic, but I'm assuming that neither of these guys get much of a leash here, do they?
No, you can't in a Game 7. And I don't think we know what we're going to get from Scherzer until we see him out on the mound. And, you know, what a story it is if he is great in Game 7. And we talked about it in Game 5 and then again in Game 6, how, and it sounds crazy when you first say it, but how Scherzer not being able to pitch Game 5 might have always been a blessing in disguise for Washington, because even if Max had gone out there, they probably lose to Gerrit Cole anyways, the way that Gerrit Cole was pitching.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lose the game, why not save Scherzer? And I'm not saying they did it intentionally, obviously, but it might turn into a blessing in disguise for them if Scherzer is vintage Scherzer tonight. But he might throw 120 pitches. He might throw 12. We have no idea how he's really doing. He said yesterday he feels 100% and he's ready to go. But they will have Corbin behind him. They will have Sanchez behind him. They will have Doolittle behind him. They will have Hudson behind him. And just like the Astros will have everybody, the kitchen sink, behind Greinke, who's only been okay in the playoffs. Like, he's been a 4 1/3, 4 2/3 kind of guy. And they'll have Urquidy. He's the guy who pitched, the rookie who pitched so well in Game 4. And then you're into, you know, Smith and Presley and Harris and Osuna. So, yeah, you know, all hands on deck is an old tired cliche that I've said 1,000 times, but I'm sure I'll say it a couple more times tonight during the broadcast.
And because of that, we don't, you know, we just want an entertaining baseball game and the drama, and I think we'll get it. But would you lean that it sets up better for Washington tonight?
I would, because on the surface, I think Scherzer is more likely to pitch better and deeper into the game than Greinke is. But listen, this series, there are a lot of people who have guessed wrong all 6 times in this series. I don't think there's anybody who's guessed right all six times. This is like one of the, you know, it's like the NCAA tournament where you look at your first, like you're out, like you're gone in the first round because you've guessed wrong on everything. The road team has never won 6 games in a row in a playoff series. Never happened, you know. And I mean, that's the beauty of baseball in some ways, is that it is less predictable in my mind than the NFL or the NBA or the NHL. And you got to go out there. So, yeah, does Washington have an advantage? I guess so, a small one. But, you know, I would have thought that Houston had the advantage with Justin Verlander on the mound most of their starts in the postseason, and it hasn't worked out that way. Greinke hasn't been as good as we thought he would be. So, yeah, well, when the umpire yells play ball, we'll find out.
Hey, listen, you're a little tired this morning, and I can fully understand after a late night last night, and here you are stepping in to hang out with us this morning to look ahead to a big game that gets underway in about 11 hours from now. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy it. I mean, it completely overshadowed a magical performance by Steven Strasburg last night,
mm-hmm.
But buckle up. This one could be a special one tonight there, Dan.
Yeah, I can't wait. It'll be fun. Thanks, guys.